The Book of Psalms is the hymn book of ancient Israel, and it's filled with the liturgy and worship life of the Israelites. The psalm you heard today, Psalm 137, is a song of deep lament. It grows out of the Babylonian exile, which happened in the 6th century BC. The Babylonians destroyed the temple in Jerusalem, and then they captured the elite members of society, the scholars, the business owners, the landowners, the artists. All the prominent citizens were hauled off against their will to Babylon, and the peasant class was left behind. The Israelites were pulled apart at their very seams. Psalm 137 sounds like it was a song that was written once the exile was over and the exiled had returned to their ruined city of Jerusalem, trying to rebuild their lives and their community while the trauma they had experienced as a community still haunts their lives. They must not, cannot forget their past. But how do they explain to their Jewish neighbors back in Jerusalem what it felt like to be exiled? Their humiliation is fresh, and they take it and place their raw pain and their anger in the cradle of a song. How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Every day while they were there, they were reminded that they didn't belong in Babylon. When the empire takes you captive, it changes your name. It strips you of your history, and it force feeds you the historical narrative of the empire. It breaks your family apart, and then it tries to convince you that the empire's gods are more powerful than your God. Think how that felt for the Israelites. The language was not their language. The food didn't taste familiar or satisfying. The stories the Babylonians told were not their stories. The values were different, and the gods were not Yahweh. And suddenly, against their will, they were aliens, refugees, enslaved people. How do you sing when you don't feel like singing? Psalm 137 is not one of the songs of Zion. It's a song that longs to feel whole enough to once again sing the songs of Zion, to sing of the Zion they lost. It's a song of worship that is sad, angry, vengeful, a song of yearning for home by those who have been torn from it, and a song that begs God for God's retribution. During Lent, as we move through this sermon series on water, this psalm of lament speaks of water as the place where these displaced went hoping to sing, to find comfort and connection with home. By the waters of Babylon, they rested, they clung to each other, they tried to sing the songs of their people and their homeland, and there they wept. This was more than homesickness. This was the people of faith gathering for communal lament, and it was a sorrowful worship. But even there, the tormentors found them. Wow, listen to them. Hey, sing us one of your songs. Perform for us while we scoff at you. Where's your God now, huh? It's just too much for the Israelites. They were already too humiliated and harmed. They would not let their worship be stolen from them as well. And so they hung their harps in the trees and hid their musical instruments behind the foliage next to the waters. Defiantly, they would not sing for the Babylonians. But when they were alone, perhaps they could sneak down to the water and remember Zion in their music, away from the taunts of those who strove to subjugate them. Down by the water, they went to escape and weep and sing. It not only comforted them, it not only connected them to the neighbors and families still in Jerusalem, it helped them to refuse to assimilate into the power structure of the empire. When you find yourself a captive, it's always a temptation to merely move your loyalty to Babylon, to take a new name, move into the empire's neighborhood and give up your difference, your ethic, your deep-held beliefs. I have heard Church of the Brethren historians describe us as an exiled people. Our denomination was birthed in Germany after the Reformation and as a reaction to wanting the reform to go farther. We are a fusion of the Anabaptist movement, and I just want to make sure you didn't hear anti-Baptist, because I'd been misquoted in a news article that way. I said Anabaptist. It meant Anabaptism and Pietism is the fusion. Anabaptism means those who baptize again. And it was a derogatory name given by those who tormented the ancestors of our movement. Anabaptists believe that baptism should be an adult choice, that there should be freedom in religion, that there should be a separation of church and state, nonconformity to the world, peaceful non-resistance, a central focus on the Sermon on the Mount, and a priesthood of all believers. I hear those beliefs and I think, okay, what was the problem with those? But when you truly preach and practice a separation of church and state, you become suspects of the state. Our religious ancestors were tortured, imprisoned, fined, and martyred. They were considered too radical and a danger to the stability of the state. Some of them were drowned, which was called their third baptism. Their first baptism was when they had been sprinkled at birth by a state-approved church. Their second baptism was when, in defiance, they chose to be baptized as adults. And their third baptism was when the state drowned them for choosing to be adults rebaptized. King Ferdinand declared drowning this third baptism as the best antidote to Anabaptism. The Brethren left Europe in the early 1700s in two different shiploads, bound for Pennsylvania, a land that promised them religious freedom. The Brethren became a displaced people shortly after their birth as a movement. Many Anabaptist traditions today will sing the lament song of torture and capture by the empire. We remind ourselves of our history of exile. But I wonder what that story does for us these days. Can we really see ourselves as exiled anymore? Can we sit in this lovely stained glass sanctuary and still tell those stories as our stories? Or have we merely assimilated and become the beneficiaries of Babylon? It's our tendency to read Bible stories and see ourselves as the Good Samaritan, the father of the prodigal son, the Israelites escaping Egypt, Abel, Esther, Ruth, Peter. Most of us don't read these stories and imagine ourselves in the stories the priest who walks by, the man in the ditch, or the older son who resents his prodigal brother, or as the Egyptians holding the Israelites captive, or as Cain, or the empire, or Caiaphas. But I just want to be a little provocative this morning. How would it change your understanding if we no longer saw ourselves as the victims of the third baptism, but instead we understood ourselves as people who'd assimilated into Babylon, who once upon a time hid our instruments in the foliage by the river, but no longer even remember to go there and sing our songs, who demand that the exiled among us entertain us with their songs of home. As I was working on this sermon, I thought of all the displaced people we run into every day. They may not have been captured and forced here. They may have been. But we've asked them to stop singing their songs, stop speaking their language, stop remembering. It might be a woman who works in a nail salon whose name tag says Daisy. Who you know isn't really named Daisy? Or the man that mows your lawn, you know of as Joe because it's just easier for you to call him that. It might be an otherwise gendered person who has to live in a space that does not recognize them as they recognize themselves. Psalm 137 is a song of two cities, Zion and Babylon. It's a song of home and the empire, the promised land and Egypt. It's a song of birth and exile, Schwarzenau and Germantown. A song of two cities in which there is devotion to one and resistance to the other. Music gives us language when we are living between these two cities. When we can't sing the songs of Zion and we don't want to sing the songs of Babylon, we have to sing the songs of lament and memory, the songs of courage and protest. And in that singing, we can be reminded who it is God calls us to be. We sing as a way to refuse to assimilate to the demands of the empire. We sing as a way to connect. We pull our harps once again out of the trees where we have hidden them by the waters of the empire, and we sing our hope, our faith, our praise, our intention to hold fast to the God who loves us and sees us. My prayer is that we keep on singing. Amen.